And right now, as we do each and every week here on the program, it is time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one is a sad note, and local professional golfer, West Palm Beach resident Ken Green, now a member of the Champions Tour, will have his right lower leg amputated tomorrow, 1 week after he was involved in an accident that killed his brother, his girlfriend, and his dog. 50-year-old Green won 5 PGA Tour titles in the 80s. He struggled recently with his game for almost 20 years now, but he hasn't given up on playing golf, and he says after the amputation, he will try to make it back to the Champions Tour and play with a prosthetic. Pat, should the Champions Tour, in the event that Ken Green comes back and can and play at a Champions Tour caliber level, should the Champions Tour make an exemption and let him ride with a golf cart in every tournament he plays in?
No, that's a little bit down the road, Russ, but I don't know. I don't know if this prosthetic is going to prevent him from being able to walk. I would think that they might let him use one on a temporary basis until he is strong enough to be able to walk the 18. But knowing Ken Green, I would think he would want to be out there. If he's going to be out there, he's going to want to be able to walk the full 18 holes. So I'm not even sure if he would ask for the exemption, but your question being, would they give him one? I think they would. I don't know if it would be any kind of a permanent thing, but they would probably for the first couple tournaments. Remember, you used to be able to ride golf carts all the time
right.
on the Champions Tour.
That's the thing. I've seen guys, now I don't know what the rule is specifically now on the Champions Tour, because I've seen guys riding golf carts during rounds of Champions Tour events over the last few years, but it doesn't happen in every tournament. It certainly doesn't happen in the majors. Golf carts are not allowed in the majors. The 5 majors.
So that's most of the season.
on the Champions Tour. But I don't know. We'll probably have to look into that so we have more clarification. Obviously, this is an ongoing story. Ken Green with the surgery tomorrow. Obviously, after having surgery, he won't be able to get back to a competitive level in months, if not maybe a year or so. Once he gets the prosthetic, he has to learn how to play on it. But it's a sad story. And talk about, I mean, horrific. You know, be the only survivor from a wreck where your recreational vehicle goes off the road, slams into a tree, your girlfriend dies, your brother dies, your dog dies, and you have your leg amputated. I mean, he is going through probably some low times mentally right now.
I mean, Ken, you know, it's well documented. Ken has had a lot of issues throughout his life, just superior talent in golf to be able to overcome a lot of those issues. The truly sad thing about this is, you know, Ken playing on the Champions Tour recently had started to get into more of a routine where he was cashing some checks, actually playing fairly well, getting into a little bit of a routine and a groove. And then to have this happen, like you said, this was a case, according to the article I read, that Ken wasn't even driving the car, his brother was, or the RV. So just the happenstance that you're the survivor out of all this, again, you know, the mental aspect that goes along with thinking about all that going into the future, what effect that has on your golf game, if it liberates him and sort of he kind of says, hey, I'm playing with the house money at this point, and you know, goes out and just plays more relaxed, if, you know, assuming he is able to play with the prosthetic leg. The one thing I will say, it's his right leg, and that is kind of your, you know, transition, like when you're moving your weight back. But I think you're better off as a golfer if you're going to lose a leg. No scenario is good. But if you're going to, I think the right leg might probably be the better leg to have to deal with. Your left leg, is where you start your swing and finish your swing. And I think it needs more stability in that leg. Now, some golfers out there might, you know, some pros might be listening and calling, giving their opinion on if you had to lose one, which one to lose. But I think you will see Ken come out of this. I think it is going to be a major challenge in his life to deal with it. But I think this might be something that, in a bizarre way, turns out for Ken to help him going on in his life's journey and become not only the golfer that you see glimpses of every once in a while, but personally, you might see something out of Ken going on with the next 40 or 50 years that he has still left to live.
Okay, and of course, our hearts and prayers go out to Ken Green right now in this difficult time for him.
All right, number two, going to you, Russ, on a much lighter note. We just had the second U.S. Open Challenge last year at Torrey Pines, this year at Bethpage Black with Ben Roethlisberger of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Michael Jordan, and Justin Timberlake. And the guy that finished out the foursome was a
good
Phoenix
luck.
Police
good luck with this last
lieutenant.
Name.
I don't even know if I'm going to attempt it. Let's just call him Larry G. It's Gable Hauser.
Right. Kind of like Kenny G. Larry G.
Larry G. And actually, the foursome did do too badly. Roethlisberger shot 81, which is 11 over. Timberlake had an 88. Jordan had an 86. And Larry G had a 101. So he just missed out on the breaking 100. So far, Tiger's prediction that no 10 handicapper could break 100 held true for the second year in a row. But the scores were kind of low, Russ, in my opinion. Your thoughts on the scoring?
I am surprised. I am incredibly surprised by the low numbers, because we said, Pat, going into this, and they played this round just 2 days ago on Friday up there, and the broadcast, it'll be rebroadcast, an hour television special before the final round of the U.S. Open next Sunday, Father's Day on NBC. I am incredibly surprised by these scores. Now, last year at Torrey Pines, Tony Romo was the best at 84. Timberlake shot 98. Matt Lauer shot 100. And the amateur shot 114. And sad news in the golf world, John Atkinson, who was the amateur last year, he passed away on Thursday from cancer. How ironic. Just one day before the second annual edition of the U.S. Open Challenge, the guy who won the amateur spot last year passes away from cancer. And that was a big reason that he got the spot last year, because of the lung cancer he had. And that's such a sad story. But in regards to these scores, I am incredibly surprised. And I have a feeling, I don't want to speculate, but I have a feeling NBC and Golf Digest and the USGA might have made the setup for the Friday round for these players a little easier than what the players, the PGA Tour players and the 14 amateurs will see starting next Thursday at Bethpage. Because we said Bethpage Black compared to Torrey Pines, just as far as relative difficulty for the two courses, Bethpage is a much more difficult golf course. So these scores surprised me. And kudos to Michael Jordan. He started out triple bogey, double bogey. He hit his tee shot off a number one in an unplayable lie. Had to take a drop, made triple. Then he double bogeyed number two. Five over after two holes, ends up shooting 86. That's phenomenal. And he was only four over on the back nine. Shot a four over par round on the back nine, finishing 16 over 86. Great job by all of those guys.
Well, I agree with you. I don't know what to read into these scores, except because I haven't played Bethpage. I played Torrey, and that is a killer, especially from the back tees. It's an extremely difficult golf course, so I could sort of equate with what the scores were last year with my own perception of how difficult it was. So I can't do that in this case because I haven't played Bethpage. But I will say this. I think we've noticed the USGA the last few years not making the U.S. setup a lot easier, but they have cut down on the rough a little bit. Maybe the green speeds aren't at death-defying 15 or plus level as they have been in the past. So they made this tournament a little bit more user-friendly, so to speak. So instead of getting plus five winning it, you're getting around even par or even under par winning the tournament. But they're shortening up, making some of the par fours drivable, those types of things, in the interest of making it more, not a birdie fest, but at the same time, not the death march that the U.S. Open has been in the past. So maybe this is just a minor indication that the setup of this Bethpage U.S. Open is not going to be as difficult as the other one. Remember that other one, Russ, I think it was on the 10th hole, like 80% of the field couldn't even reach the fairway. So maybe you're seeing a little bit friendlier setup for the U.S. Open, and this is maybe a small indication that that's what we're going to get.
Interesting take, Pat. Interesting. A precursor.
I don't know. That's all I got.
A harbinger for things to come next
Michael
week.
Jordan shooting four over, Russ.
I know,
that
right?
is.
I am incredibly surprised. Now, I can't wait to watch this. Next Sunday, Father's Day Sunday, an hour TV special before the final round of the U.S. Open on NBC. Rocco Mediate was caddying for Big Ben Roethlisberger. Anthony Kim was caddying for Justin Timberlake. And Freddie Couples was caddying for Michael Jordan. This is going to be fun to watch. I can't wait for this. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. This is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number three, Champions Tour. taking a page out of the LPGA handbook and going international. They have reached a multi-year agreement to play a Champions Tour event in South Korea starting next year, fall of 2010. The tournament, it'll be the 50 and over tour's first event in Asia, played on the Jack Nicklaus Golf Club track in Korea, about 40 miles west of Seoul. 54-hole event featuring a $3 million purse, one of the largest purses on the Champions Tour. Pat, your thoughts?
Yeah, and you're probably going to disagree with me on this one, Russ. I got to give all the kudos in the world to the Champions Tour. I still, you know, I love golf. I love watching golf and everything else. I love, you know, even the Senior Open. I love certain senior tournaments. But for them to pull this off, and again, I think it's a lot of it's the Emperor's clothes. Ever since Jack Nicklaus left the Seniors Tour, and I don't think Tiger's going to play it. It's a fairly mundane group of players. You know, you have your Hale Irwins and your Bruce Fleischers, and those guys are good players, but you know, they end up dominating this or you know, dominating it for a couple of years, and I just don't know what the buzz is. Now, I get, like I said, I'm giving them all the credit in the world. They've gone over to South Korea and they've told them that, hey, we're still popular, we're going to be able to attract audiences and bring people out. Maybe they will. But I don't know who in the U.S. is going to watch. This is probably going to be on some kind of tape delay, number one. I don't know who's going to watch this thing, unless, of course, they make it another major, which they might. But, good luck to them. I hope it works out. But, man, it doesn't create any buzz on my meter one way or the other. So I hope it works out for them, but I probably won't be watching it.
Well, I do disagree in the fact
that... I knew you would.
I will be watching it, because I'm a golf junkie, and I watch anything and everything that is golf on the boob tube, but I give him credit. $3 million purse. I mean, that's the type of purse for a major.
Freddie Funk has this five-footer.
It might be a major. Sixth major on the Champions Tour, considering how much money they're going to be giving away, but yeah, kudos to the Champions Tour for getting a tournament overseas, first in Asia, but I'm curious who in Asia is going to be attending this event for 3 days out there. I mean, I'll be watching it over here in the States, but how many golf fans in Korea will be going out to see a Champions Tour event? I mean, Korea is LPGA Tour crazy with all the Koreans on the LPGA Tour.
I this is where I think you might see Jack Nicklaus play some kind of ceremonial thing, because it's his course.
Good point. Maybe for
the first year, some kind of ceremonial thing.
Another gold star for you, Pat. You are on fire today.
But other than that, they're going to be getting a product over there. Like, who is this guy? I don't know. Like I said, wish him luck, but I don't see it, so... All right, number four to you, Russ.
That's right.
Is that where we're going? Let me get my notes out here. All right, back-to-back U.S. Opens. USGA announced, I think, yesterday that the U.S. Open is going back to Pinehurst in 2014. No shocker there, but here is the little shocker within the non-shocker. They're going to have the Women's Open there to, I believe, follow the Men's Open back-to-back weeks at Pinehurst in 2014. Your thoughts, Russ? Good idea.
Bad idea. There's no doubt in my mind this is a bad idea. How do you hold an LPGA Tour event, much less a major? We're talking about a women's U.S. Open a week after a men's major, and it's the men's U.S. Open. I mean, any professional tour, when they hold an event on a track, they close it weeks in advance to get it ready, to let the divots fill in, and you're telling me you're going to have a Women's U.S. Open the next week after the Men's U.S. Open at Pinehurst? I mean, this is close and shut case for me. This is a bad idea.
I completely agree with you. On a couple, first on level of having it at Pinehurst in 2014, we would have had it at Pinehurst in 1999, 2005, and now in 2014. So that's three U.S. Opens at Pinehurst in 15 years. I completely disagree with that. Move it around, USGA. There's a zillion great golf courses out there in this country that the public doesn't get a chance to see, and this is their one opportunity to have the prestigious event of, in my opinion, of the year.
My Crooked Stick hasn't had a major since 1991.
Come on, USGA, move this thing around. Quit having it at Pinehurst and Bethpage. You know, there should be a 10-year rule. You can't have it at least, it's got to be 10 years before you have it again. That's number one. Number two, completely agree with you, Russ. This is completely unfair to the women. If at the very least, if the women were having it first, I would be a little bit more okay with it, because they don't generate the same amount of crowds and things like that. But even in that circumstance, it's still not fair. The course is going to be chewed up either way, whoever plays it first. And the group having it second is not going to have the same conditions, the same optimal U.S. Open conditions that you should get. And plus, you're taking away a venue that would get the economic impact and everything else to have, even if it's a women's open,
right.
To have a women's open there. I just think it's wrong. I applaud the USGA in one way for, quote-unquote, thinking outside of the box and trying something different. But I just have it at a different course. There's a bunch of great courses in the Pinehurst area. Pine Needles, I think they've had the U.S. Women's Open at before.
Just a couple years ago.
Move it. If you want to do it, you know, at a different venue within the same town, I'd be a little more amenable to that. But having it at the same place, I just think is too much stress on the golf course. And I don't think you're going to see whoever gets it the second time, it's not going to be the optimal conditions that you would want for a U.S. Open event. So we'll see what happens, but I think this has potential disaster written all over it.
Couldn't agree with you more, Pat, and that was another award-winning edition of the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa.